Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you see at the end of verse 18, given to us the ministry of reconciliation. End of verse 19, God has committed or entrusted unto us the word of reconciliation. And verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we come to consider this ministry that those who have received reconciliation have been given, O Lord, we pray that thou would even bless us now. May we see Christ and the importance of the gospel and our duty, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We, or us, to us, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. Some commentators, they argue that the we and the us refer to the apostles, to Paul and apostles, and possibly to men like Timothy who traveled with him. I can't see that, because do you know that if you go down this chapter and underline all the we and the us, you will find that over and over again. I think we is over a dozen times, us is over six times, or round about six times. If you look in your Bible there at verse 21, of chapter 5, you'll see those personal pronouns. For he hath made him to be sin for Paul and the apostles. No, us. Us. God was reckoned earlier verses reconciling us unto himself. We. And I think the emphasis in the chapter is on we and us. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We have received reconciliation. And so I believe that speaking to those who come and trust Christ, and then you have this great word in 19, God hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, of course, there are offices. There was an office of an apostle. There are no apostles today in the sense of the apostolic office. We know that. There are those full-time in God's service. There's an office for that. But being an ambassador is not restricted to full-time workers or to those that hold an office in the church. I don't accept that. I believe what Paul is writing here under inspiration of God, that we, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have been reconciled. That enmity between you and God has broken down, and now you can have fellowship with him. God has entrusted, committed something very important, something precious to you, to you. We can't opt out of it. We can't say, oh, that's for somebody else. God hath committed unto every Christian the ministry of reconciliation, and this great term, ambassador. Ambassador. What a tremendous term. It's used about 10 times in the Old Testament. Same meaning as the New, of course. There are envoys, or the word ambassadors, used between various kings and nations. And I think most of us would know what an ambassador is. And so right away, a few points. First of all, the ambassador's dignity. The ambassador's dignity. Think of it. You know, many people in this world aspire to be ambassadors for their country, for the United Kingdom, for America. Think of America, a new president gets elected, oh, I'll have to be friendly with him, maybe he'll make me an ambassador. And it's something to be prized, something to grasp for, to have that important post of dignity, ambassador so-and-so. And yet hear what God is saying. Think of the miracle of grace. Paul's been saying, we're aliens of God. That's everybody in the Adam family. We've all sinned. We're at war, and God is at war with us because God is of purer eyes and to behold evil. So we're in a state of war between God and the sinner. That's what I was. We're all born in that state. We were all under the wrath of God. We were all enemies of God. Romans 5, can't go through it again this week. Every one of us. There's not one of us can look down our nose at somebody else and say, that wasn't me. Romans 5 makes it clear we were all without strength. We were all sinners. We were all enemies. And yet in this miracle of what Christ has done, God was in Christ, reconciling the world. And now, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you haven't yet, we trust that you will come. We pray you'll come tonight. But when you get saved, you know what happens? You get a great dignity.
You know you're only a sinner. But you are given a great dignity. Because you who once were far off are made nigh. You become, listen, a citizen of heaven. You change your citizenship. As the book of Philippians, Paul wrote that we are citizens of heaven. Earlier on in chapter 5, if you scan your eye over the first few verses, he talks about, I'm longing for the day when I will get a new body. And I'm going to have a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, absent from the body, present with the Lord. What's Paul saying? I long to go home to my own country. Book of Hebrews 11, Abraham and the patriarchs, it says they looked for a country. See, this world isn't our home anymore when you're saved. I know we live here, but we are citizens of heaven. The people around us don't realize it. Now, we're not proud in ourselves. We don't want us to get proud as if we've done something. It's all of God's grace. We don't deserve anything. But Christian, you remember your position through the blood of Christ, through his love, through his salvation. You are a citizen of heaven. Wonderful, wonderful dignity. But it's even better than that. Here's the truth of what Paul is saying. Not only are you changed, saved, you're a new person. If anyone be in Christ, you're a new creation, it means. Not only are you a citizen of heaven, but you become an ambassador from heaven to this earth. You are an ambassador. In fact, you have a greater dignity than the ambassador of Britain to America or the ambassador of America to Britain, and I'm not sure who they are. Maybe I should. Don't follow the news that close. But, you know, you have a greater dignity. You're an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you understand the dignity to be an ambassador? Every Christian, once you're born again, you are now a representative of the King of Kings. What's the duty of an ambassador? I think we all know, don't we? An ambassador goes to a foreign country. He lives there. He lives among those people, but he's there to represent the king or president, his country. And he's there to deliver messages that come from his country. They're sent, well, nowadays probably mobile or radio or whatever. And he delivers the message from the country that he represents, from the king or queen or president that he represents. Great honor. And Paul is saying here that we, every believer, has been appointed an ambassador. Ambassador Stephen. Ambassador, it's go around all your names, you know, all that are saying, go around the names. You're an ambassador. Isn't that wonderful? I want you to think of the dignity of that. Now, Paul was in a Roman prison. He was actually chained. Not when you read Bible carefully, when he was in prison, he wasn't always chained. But in Ephesians 6, he was. And what does he write back to the church? I am an ambassador in bonds, in chains. Does he write, pray for me that I'll be released? No, never wrote that. He wrote to the church of Philippi as well from the prison. He said, pray for me to the Ephesian church that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador on bond. When I'm in this dirty old dark dungeon, I'm not sad. He wrote to the Philippians and said, I'm rejoicing and don't you worry about me. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what the book of Philippians is all about. Brethren, he says, this has happened unto me for the furtherance of the gospel. Imagine being in a dirty Roman dungeon. He says, I'm here as an ambassador. He never lost a sense of dignity, did he? He said, I'm an ambassador to these fellow prisoners and to these soldiers. Do you realize that you are an ambassador? You know, sometimes you can't tell by looking at a person the dignity of their position. When I was thinking of ambassadors, I remember many years ago when we lived in Papua New Guinea, we came down to where we were working about 250 miles by boat. We stopped at this town called Ambunte. Probably means nothing to you. It's right on a river, something like the Amazon. There was one European lived in the town. He stayed there after the Second World War, Australian soldier. So you very rarely saw a European, and they were wasn't the main civilized part of the country, let's put it that way. You'd see maybe rough tribesmen that may scare you if you hadn't lived there for a while. And I saw this man, when he saw me, I stood out, of course, white skin. And I saw him walking over. He had no shoes, of course, as most of them didn't have any shoes. He had no shirt. He just had a short pair of swimming trunks on. And he walked over and he spoke in perfect BBC English. "Hello, how are you?" "What?" I expected the language of the people in that area or pidgin English. And he spoke in English and it was very precise. I said, "Oh, are you? Oh, yes, my tribe is here. I grew up here, went to school, then I went to university. You know, a few weeks ago, I was at the inauguration celebration for President Carter. I worked for the diplomatic corps from Papua New Guinea." "Oh, right. I'm just a poor missionary. My appearances can be deceiving." And then I remember the time, and I smile about it. We were out of the tribe. We're up, very rarely did we go to the mountains, usually a week a year. But we're up there, about 500, 600 miles from where we lived, where our boys, two oldest boys, went to school. And we were there the very week that it was excitement, because the UN ambassador from the United States was visiting that part of New Guinea. And of course, most of the missionaries' children at the school were Americans, and they were excited. Our UN ambassador is coming to that place up there, Goroka. And so we went into the town as well, and the children were all allowed out with the teachers to meet him. And a lot of the people, some of them there, you'd get just dressed in tribal gear, you know, like grass skirts, even the men were posing, and others would have been suits and so on. But the party came, and you could see bodyguards and police, and the people are straining. Where? You see, Andrew Young had the same colour skin as the Papua New Guineans. He's from Alabama, and Atlanta. He was the mayor of Atlanta, then served under President Jimmy Carter. And so, but then when they realised he was the Secretary of State, of course that endeared him to the New Guinea people, that he looked the same colour of skin as them. Of course, he was a black man from the southern states, and we got to shake his hand too. And they said he was a famous man. I'd never seen him before, but we got to shake the hand of the ambassador. Never washed it since, no. You wouldn't have known. You would not have known who he was until somebody told us. I found out later he was a great supporter of Mugabe and was influential in getting him in. If I'd have known that then. But anyway, we'll not get into that. What I'm saying is they wouldn't have known. And here's something, Christian. People don't realize who you are, where you live. We dress the same as people, but what a dignity we have. What a dignity. But then I want you to think about the ambassador's ministry. What is it? Well, you're told there what it is. Given us this ministry. It says the word of reconciliation. Do you see that in the passage? That's in verse 19 there. We've a word to deliver. And then he goes on to say in the next verse, we are ambassadors as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's day. That's our ministry. To take what Christ would say if he was here tonight in this meeting. What would Christ say in this meeting if he was here? Well, it's the duty of ambassador to say what Christ would say if he was here. It's the duty of us where we live, where we talk, where we witness, to tell people God's word, God's message in Christ's stead, in his place. Paul, when he went to the church at Ephesus, he preached. People were converted. Years later, he wrote in the book of Ephesians, Christ came and preached peace to you. Now think about that. Did the Lord Jesus Christ literally come to the city of Ephesus in a human body? No, of course he didn't. Did the Lord Jesus Christ come to Ephesus through the preaching of Paul? Yes. As Paul, Christ's ambassador, spoke and pleaded with men and women, Christ took the words that Paul uttered and he bored them, if you like, right into the hearts and minds of people that heard him. You see, the ambassador is just to speak, to be a relay for God and for Christ. We're to proclaim the message. Yes, the whole message of God's word, but primarily the message of reconciliation. To tell men and women, listen, you are at enmity with God. You've broken God's law. But God has performed a wonderful miracle. He sent Christ, his own son, to take a human body, to keep the law that we could never keep. And there at Calvary, he bore the debt of sin. And if you will believe, there's nothing you can do to make reconciliation with God. You can't make it by your good works. But if you will simply lay down your arms of rebellion and come to Him confessing your sin and trust Him as your Savior and Lord and submit to Him, you'll be reconciled. You'll be reconciled. You'll become a new creature in Christ. You'll be born again. You're reconciled to God. That's the message we're to proclaim. That God has provided salvation in Christ. We tell them to repent, believe. But not only is it the ministry to proclaim the word. Look at this verse again, verse 20, the ambassador. You have another ministry. Not only to proclaim the word, but we're to beseech. We're to beseech. We're to preach the word of reconciliation, verse 19, you're to plead. That word's wonderful. Do you remember the leper came to Christ and he beseeched? Here's this leper, he's dying with a disease. Son of David, have mercy, deliver me. He's pleading. What about the man with the son possessed with a demon? He's pleading. It's used of Christ's prayers in Gethsemane. This is an earnest cry, and what it's saying is, as ambassadors, Christians, we're not just to proclaim the gospel in a sort of professional, matter-of-fact way. Well, there you are, we're giving you the message. Here's a tract, we're giving it to... We're to plead with men. We're to implore them. Tonight, if you don't know Christ, every Christian in this meeting pleads with you. Get right with God. Trust what Christ has done. For the very next chapter I read says, behold, now you don't know if you have tomorrow. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your... We're to plead with men and women. This isn't some cold presentation of the truth. There's to be a pleading. Do you know in Romans 10:21, God said this, all day long have I stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying, that means obstinate people. Imagine God saying that. All day long I've stretched forth my hand. Think of it. Isn't sin a terrible thing? To think that sinners have to be pleaded with to receive God's offer of salvation. Isn't it wonderful grace that God, he's the one provided reconciliation through the death of his son. And yet, when you tell the message to men and women, it doesn't affect them. You have to plead with them. That shows the hardness of sin. And God is pictured as pleading. I think of Paul where he says he ceases not to warn night and day with tears. We're to plead with men because verse 21, God hath made Christ to be sin for us. And we have to go and tell them, listen, the gospel is that Christ has died and God laid on him our sin. Now trust him. Peace has been made through Christ. This is going to be a great year of commemorations. November the 11th, 1918, at the 11th hour, the ending of the war. The man later became Field Marshal Dobie, a fine Christian man. Fine Christian man. He was the one, the brigadier at that time, who sent out the orders from the command center that the 11th hour of the 11th day, hostilities will cease. He used to joke, what did you do in the First World War? Well, I ended it. Because he was the man sent out the message in his name. But end the hostilities. Armistice. We'll remember that later this year. Peace. God has made peace. But you see, when Germany surrendered, the German soldiers had to lay down their arms individually. Have you ever read the wonderful stories? Well, I say wonderful, it's amazing, it's tragic, it's sad. At the end of the Second World War, when Japan surrendered, do you know right up to as late as 1965? And later, some say even later than that, but there was quite a number in 65. 1945, the end of the war, and you can read about it so many years. 30 Japanese here in the jungle. One time there was 100, some years after the war, were found in the jungle. Didn't know the war was over. Didn't know it had finished. And in one island, they dropped all the... Planes went over, American planes. You know what they're doing? They're dropping leaflets. The war's over. Just come out. Lay down your arms. Peace has been made. And some of those Japanese men wouldn't believe it. Our ministry is to tell people Christ has died. God is reconciled. Lay down your arms. and accept the peace terms. Surrender to him. There's the responsibility, the ambassador's responsibility. Any ambassador that goes to a foreign country, he's great responsibilities. They usually have a ceremony, whether with the Queen or someone else. In America, it would be the President or the Secretary of State, who's head of the foreign relations, would speak to the ambassador, give them their credentials, you'd have papers and so on. You're told all the resources of the government is behind you, and they'll give them the money, they'll give them finances. I look at 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also. You know, we don't go to be ambassadors on our own. The Lord goes with us. You don't go. Read the book of Acts. The book of Acts is what Christ did through the church. It wasn't the apostles doing it. It was Christ working through the apostles, working with them. The Bible says the Lord working with them. Doesn't that take away the burden of witnessing? We're not to go on our own. The Lord goes with us. But we've a responsibility. And I thought about that. The responsibility is to remember that when we are on our ministry, sent as ambassadors, our allegiance is to our citizenship, our home. In other words, an American ambassador to Russia, he has to remember he's not Russian. He lives there for his time as ambassador. He's an American. Can't get caught up in the affairs of Russia. He can't start putting all his money in a Russian bank. There'll be some questions asked. We're citizens of heaven. We're not to become entangled with this world. We're in the world. All through church history, Christians have faced this tension, if you like, of what it is to live in this world. There are those who have looked upon it as isolation. You've got people like the Amish or Amish, and they say, oh, we'll go away from the world and we'll be holy. Well, it is good to desire to be holy. But they cut themselves off from everybody else. They say, that's to live like a Christian. Sadly, you'll meet some groups and they say, oh, well, to reach the world, we'll just become like them. Oh, no, no, no. That's what we're facing today in modern evangelicalism. Let's make the services in the world. Let's bring in the music of the world. Let's bring in, quote, unquote, Christian rock. There's no such thing, by the way, but that's not the subject tonight. Let's make our services like a disco. Let's dim the lights. Let's have floodlights on the stage at the front. Let's have entertainment. Let's have a Sunday night or Sunday morning service. We'll call it the X Factor. Or we'll have a Star Trek or whatever it is. Or it's not Star Trek, one of those other programs, I don't know which one. Let's have a Sunday, we'll all dress up. Let's have a Sunday and we'll have all the elders and committee dress up in Disney outfits. And I'm not making this up, by the way. That happens in Northern Ireland. Or let's hide some money under the pew and that'll get people in. That happens in Northern Ireland. It happens in Northern Ireland. I'm sure you know that, don't you? If you want to know where it is, I'll tell you afterwards. Are you all looking now? Quick. Let you into a wee secret. I wanted to do it, but the committee wouldn't agree. No, be like the world. No, we're to be separate from the world. No, we're not to be integrated into the world. We're not to be isolated in the sense that we don't make friends with people, or because we're to be salt in the world. We're to be light in the world. We're to, with God's grace and God's help and power, we're to be in the world, but not of the world. We're never to participate in the world's sins, but we're to seek to befriend those in the world, to bring them the message of our King, and to plead with them to make peace with Almighty God. You see, that's how we need to be. That's what we need to be. We don't need, and Winston gave me this morning, maybe you read it, the Church of England. The bishop have now agreed to have a service of baptism for transgender people. When they've decided to change gender, you can now be rebaptized with your new name. So in other words, if you're a man and you think you're now a woman, by the way, you can't be. It's utter bunkum, transgender. There's no such thing. You know that. It's a load of rubbish. You're born either a man or a woman. But these people that are so mixed up, it's a mental illness. And the change, they can now be rebaptized in the church with their new name. You talk about integrated in with the ways of the world, a church. Of course, Church of England many years ago left any semblance of a New Testament church. We're not to be like the world. We have to be separate because we belong to heaven. We're not to conform to this world. We daren't. We've a responsibility to our King. We're to live as citizens of heaven. We must have that integrity that ye may be blameless and harmless as the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We must be faithful as ambassadors. And sometimes an ambassador has to say hard things. Sometimes when it comes near a state of war, an ambassador is sent to the foreign country where he is living, of course, as a representative, and he has to go to the leaders of that country and say, listen, if you don't withdraw your troops, let's say, from the border, my government has told me to tell you there'll be war. Now, our ministry is mainly to tell the great news of the gospel, that you can be saved. But there are times we have to tell the whole counsel of God and say about certain sins, that's sin in God's eyes. My King of Kings, the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, says that's sin. And that'll not make you too popular, will it? But we're not told to be popular. We're told to be faithful to our King. That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility to get the gospel out, to tell the gospel. And we're all responsible, no matter where we work or what we do. There's a lovely story. Maybe you're not familiar with this man, but he was a tremendous man. There's a famous man called William Jennings Bryans. He was what they call Secretary of State under Woodrow Wilson. That was a President of the United States. He actually stood for President, wasn't elected. He was the famous lawyer who stood for creation. You know, the Scopes trial. Apparently, I've never seen them, but there's been movies made that mock him because he stood for Genesis 1. And they made movies out of it to mock Christians. Because William Jennings Bryans was a faithful Christian. Just by the way, those of you who study Genesis and the creation research people, do you know those films and that trial was a farce? Because Clarence Darrow, who stood for evolution, brought this model of some type of prehistoric man. Do you know it's all been proved to be an absolute farce? No truth to it at all. And Darrow said, "Now, Mr. Bryans, all the scientists say this is what our ants." Load of rubbish, and it's been proved to be rubbish. William Jennings Bryans, the world made a fool of him, but he stood faithful for God. Well, while he was Secretary of State, now, in America, what that is the main foreign relations. He works with the president. In other words, where ambassadors are appointed, it's the Secretary of State that keeps in touch with them and sends them out, and sometimes he gives their credentials and so on. Famous story of William Jennings Bryan. People didn't realize who he was in a large hotel. And at the checking in, he heard a businessman saying, "Oh, have you no rooms at all? I need to have a room." "No, we're completely full." William Jennings Bryan, this is the early 1900s. He said, "Excuse me, I've been checked into a very large suite, and there's so much room in that suite. You're welcome to a room to share with me in the suite." "Oh, that's great." But when they went up to the room, he said, "Now, before I go to bed, I always read the Word of God and of prayer. So will you pray with me?" And I'll so at a time of prayer. In the morning, when they got up, ready to go down for breakfast, he says, "Now, just hold on a moment." Of course, the man had to, because Mr. Bryan, he didn't realize who he was, and just said, giving him the room for the night, share the suite. William Jennings Bryan said to him, "Now, I always start the day with a time with God in prayer and scripture reading." And it was only just after that the man realized, "I've been Secretary of State's one of the most important posts in America." You see, William Jennings Bryans was a Christian. In other words, every day of his life, he was an ambassador for his Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Are you an ambassador? Well, you are if you're saved. But are you a good ambassador? One day, you see, I'll just give you this heading, the accountability. The ambassador's accountability. You know what Paul said earlier in this chapter? We must all appear before the judgment seat. Do you know there's times when the government calls the ambassadors back? And they're called back to the center of government. And they're asked to give an account of their ambassadorship. What did you do? Did you fulfill your duties? Did you pass on the messages? And Paul, in the earlier part of the chapter, verse 9, "We labor that we may accept it of him." Verse 10, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Paul is looking forward to that day, and he's saying, "One day I'm going to stand before God, and I'll have to face, did I become entangled with the world? Did I deliver the message faithfully? Was I a good ambassador? Was my life one of integrity? When people looked, they could see that I belonged to Christ, that there was something different about me." We'll have to give an account. Well, how can we make sure we're being the ambassador we ought to be? Well, in chapter 5, Paul gives you the answer. Earlier on in verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth me. Paul was so taken up with love for Christ, and well, Christ's love for him, actually. Of course, that was a responsive love back then. Oh, when I think of how much Christ loves me, that is what keeps me going. That is what enables me to be faithful, how much the Lord loves me. There's a hymn, we don't have it in our hymn book. I thought Stephen was going to sing us a solo earlier, but you helped him out. But maybe I should have got him. I am a stranger here. You know that, don't you, that chorus? Some of you do, that gospel song. I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. Ambassador am I of realms beyond the sky. I'm here on business for my king. Any heard that? No. Some of you have. Goes on. This is the message that I bring, a message angels fain would sing. O be ye reconciled, so saith my Lord and King. O be ye reconciled to God. This is the King's command that all men everywhere repent and turn away from sin's destructive snare, that all who will obey with him shall reign for aye. And that's my business for the King. Well, if you don't know it, look up the words. It's tremendous. I am an ambassador for the King of Kings. Oh, if you don't know Christ, trust him tonight. That's our message. Trust Christ. We're not the ambassadors we ought to be, could be, should be. But listen, we have a great King of Kings, and it's he that speaks, and he calls us to him. May God help us to be the ambassador we ought to be. We're